Wow.
And it goes a little something like this.
Well, there you go. A little bit of our theme song, I think. I heard a rumor anyway that it's a theme song of some sport. Well, week one is over with. What a thrill. I got to tell you, back at the stadium, the smell of the AstroTurf, the girls dancing, jumping, in fact, like the song says. The Argo Lifers back at it again. Obviously, they're being noticed anyway. I think in almost in every newspaper there was a picture of the Argo Lifers. And central to that, of course, as always, is the man who's no stranger, John, the no stranger to the Argos, Granger, is on the phone with me right now. And John, successful week for the Argo Lifers. Oh, and by the way, the Argos won the football game too.
Wasn't that a doozy? Oh my God, Frank, to start off the season with a game like that, where it was back and forth, and right down to the last play, you just can't get any better. You just can't get any better than that. That's just one of the best ways to start the season off against a rival. The Hamilton Ticats showed up. Their fans showed up. They did an awesome job. I mean, you know, whatever you want to say about our defense and the weaknesses we have, the Ticats are potent. They do have an offense this year. Their coach is definitely showing his colors, and it showed up. Burris, wow, the guy threw an amazing game. I think we got lucky there, Frank.
You know what? The team played well. I agree with you that, you know, let's not make too much of defense, offense. But let's make sure that we all understand that that was one heck of a game. Now, I guess if you remember, I'm not surprised. I thought that game was going to be one of the best games of the year, if not the best game of the year. And, you know, you had all the makings of a great game. You had a team that won the championship, being the Argos. You had a team who played below a standard that they wanted to play at. A team that had a lot to prove because they scored a lot of points, being Hamilton, and didn't stop offenses from doing anything. I knew this was going to be a challenge for Hamilton defensively, and we all know that there's only, you know, aside from the linebackers, everybody in the defense has only played a year or two max. So you know, it's not something that one should be surprised at with the Argos. But then again, you have to remember also, and I think Chris Jones likes having young, aggressive players because his game is all about, his defensive game at least, anyway, his strategy is speed and agility, and be a ball hawk. Always go to the ball, go to the ball. We see it every day at practice, and the team reflects that. Now, you need to have veterans. You know, we're not going to sit here and say that we don't miss Jordan Younger, you know. We do.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the defense, like every other defense in the league, and the CFL being the league that it is, turnover is not something unusual in the CFL.
No. Turnover wasn't really the problem there Friday night. It was more the fact that the coverages were being blown. Mind you, we had a former assistant defensive coach that is now their head defensive coach for the Hamilton Ticats. So he had a little bit more insight than the regular coaches out there this season. So they had a little bit of an upper edge, if you want to look at it that way. But at the same time, the first half was a shootout at both ends. And the second half, not so much. I think, the coaches went in there and kind of made sure all the players pulled their socks up a little bit on defense, and it showed because it was a defensive game in the second half. So, you know, like I said, for what it was, Frank, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun from beginning to end. There was never a dull moment, just like we always say in the CFL. Never happens. It's always exciting, you know. You're going to very rarely find low-scoring game in the CFL. Mind you, even low-scoring games can be exciting, but not in our league. Our league, we just go for excitement all the time. And Friday night, wow. That's all I'm going to say is wow. A great time during the game and an also awesome time after the game at Truist Joe's, was it not?
Oh, my goodness. And for the first time, a history was made. We did the show, our history, however important our history is. We did the show live, of course, from Shoeless Joe's. And it came out okay. It was, you know, we'd never done it. And not knowing that we could actually do it, it was an interesting adventure. So, yeah, from my perspective, Shoeless Joe's was wild. And once I take myself out of the position of doing the show live there as just a person enjoying the atmosphere was just electric, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. You know, it always helps when you have a rival like we do in Hamilton, and the fans showed up. They were hoping for, obviously, a better result. But they were there, and they made that 29,000 and change feel more electric than, you know, perhaps it normally does, obviously. But, you know, let's not forget the fact that it was the plays on the field. Four touchdowns were Mr. Ray, you know, 368 yards. That's not a bad start. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And Kackert was his usual explosive self as well. Chad Owens wasn't as busy, but, you know, that was true last year as well. You know, we
oh,
saw
no,
him
what?
Last year.
235 yards is not bad, overall yards. So all-purpose yards for the game. It's I'll take it, and I think Chad will take it too, considering they had to spread the ball out a little bit more because, obviously, now Chad being the MVP of last year and having such a great year with the numbers – they're going to have more coverage on him. And the fact that he got 235 yards out of the game, you know, even on returns or whatever, it's great. I'm happy with the stats. You know, we can't be disappointed in anything that really happened.
Oh, no.
Nitpick at it. You know, we can nitpick, but why? Let's improve on, you know, the mistakes that happened in defense. This game coming up against BC is going to be a good one. Every week is going to be a good one, Frank, you know. But this week in particular, because of BC's awful kind of first half against Calgary, they're going to be, you know, for their home opener, they're going to be juiced to go for that one. So let's go back to Friday. Friday, I have to say, was probably one of the best season openers we've had, not just because we've won, but, you know, when you follow a Grey Cup and when you follow, what is it now, 8 games in a row the Argos have won since last season? I'm not sure what the exact number is, but I think we're up there. So it's been a while since we felt what it's like to lose, eh, Frank?
Well, I wish you hadn't said that because now the question will come up for sure. No, you know what? Yeah,
it's all good.
What's important is, and we keep saying this, and for those of you that, and I want to say thank you to all the well wishers and the people who said hi to us in the Argo Lifer section. You're all welcome to come down for a visit, you know. Come down, say hello, bang on the drum if you want. I think John will even let you bang on the drum.
Absolutely.
And we've absolutely have also, you know, free reign for the kids. If you have some kids and they want to bang on the drum, get a photo up. I know you're all welcome to do that. That's one of the big things that we like doing. It's a family atmosphere where we are at Argo Lifers, and we have a great time having fun supporting the team. And as you know, John, we've received some startling news from fans of other teams like Hamilton. They couldn't believe that the Argos had a group like ours involved in the game.
Yeah, well, I guess it's an eye opener for them, and I don't blame them for not believing it because for the past decade, you know, besides the end zone fans, okay, because I have to give props to the end zone fans. There's a great bunch of colorful Argo fans that you know, basically are shunned away by the cameras because they never have a camera guy in the end zone to kind of show that we do have boisterous fans, but they also get muffled out because they are just under the canopy of the 200 level there, right in the end zone underneath. So you don't get to hear them, but they are there. And besides them, okay, besides that end zone, two, three sections, you know, maybe 500 people or whatever, besides them, it's usually a funeral. Okay, and this is what we're about, Frank. This is, we're about people who want to have a good time in a football game, and to bring out the fun, as I should put it, out of people. A lot of people are hesitant when they go to the game. They like to be part of our group, but you know they just are a little bit shy. And when they see our group and we welcome them with open arms,
not to mention names, Aaron.
Sorry, what?
Not to mention Aaron. yes. Hello, Aaron.
Aaron, where are you?
You can see
Freeland, where are you?
I know. As you can see, Frank, at halftime, we had a bit of a lineup with kids and their parents wanting to come down and take a shot at the drums and take a practice. And like to say hello to little Violet Bloom, I believe is her name, and her mom, Gwen, who came down. They come down for every game, I think, since last year. They've been coming down to take little pictures with her daughter. She brought her little boyfriend with her. And he took a shot at the drum. So we welcome that. This is what we're about. We want to have a lot of fun. But most of all, Frank, we're hardcore about supporting our Argos on defense. They need the support. We will give them the support. That's what we're there for. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Don't let anybody know, but it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Lots of fun. Yeah.
Now, I guess what I will add to that is that the important thing here is we support our team, like John says, and the reason he's saying defense is because our objective is to distract in a decent way, you know, the opposition and ensure that the quarterback, you know, in this case Hank Burris, had difficulty with his you know with his calls, so that you know it is audible, so his teammates can't hear, making it difficult for him to have the freedom to do what he wants when he wants, which is something that unfortunately Argo fans have had a reputation for. You know, so our objective is to win the game after the whistle, after the game's over, at halftime. You know, we try. I like to look at the beside us sit the fans of the visitors, meaning the other team. I like going in there taking pictures of the kids of the Tie Cats, for example, and if they want to come over and beat on the drum, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's only a game. But we like to show, you know, we like to show the passion and the passion for the game. And sometimes, this is something John and I were talking about, and John, you brought this up, and it's a very important issue. Being a fan is about sharing your passion with others, being passionate at the game, enjoying the game, doing your part to help your team. That's the full experience of being a fan. Now, as far as the game is concerned, you need something to be a fan of. And there's nothing better than the CFL right now, in my mind. That's A, good deal. B, a lot of fun to watch. And C, this is the most important thing, where you can see the players up close and even talk to them, and they won't be hindered, or you won't be hindered by security guards pushing you away saying, leave me alone. This does not happen in the CFL. The CFL is an approachable league with approachable players. Even Kohan, the head honcho, very approachable as well. So, you know, like John and I both agree, I think, and I'll let John say his piece. The point is, you go there to have fun. Even winning the Grey Cup isn't all it takes. You know, what really matters and makes fans enjoy the game is participating in the game and having something to participate with that motivates you to be a fan of. That's how I'll put it, John. You can put it in your own words.
Well, first of all, before I forget, Frank, I don't want to drift off. I want to just wish everybody a happy Canada Day today. We just finished enjoying the fireworks over here at down by the lakefront, and what a great day, what a great weekend. So happy Canada Day to all our Canadian listeners, and what's up down south? So I have my say on that. Now, let's go back to the football talk. Let me just say one thing as far as the stadium and where we're talking about the funeral situation and what it would feel like in morgue and stuff like that. Again, this situation with the Argos and trying to get their fans into the games and trying to get people out to the games is becoming a problem, I'm imagining, with the Argo management. Even Chris Rudge is a little bit dejected about the non-interest that you would normally get after a team wins a Grey Cup. Okay, and they are disappointed, obviously, with the lack of season tickets that were picked up. They figured after a Grey Cup, they would have, if not the same amount renewal, they would have more. Well, no, they went back to the 2011 renewal numbers, which is not really what they wanted after the 2012 numbers. So, Frank, let me tell you one thing. The one area that season tickets did go up was in Section 134B, at the Rogers Center in the Argo Lifer section. So if I can't prove to people out there that atmosphere sells all the time, no matter what your record is, then what does? Okay? Now, mind you, we did come off a Grey Cup win last year, so it's normal that every section season ticket should go up, correct? Well, not so. And Chris is a little bit deflated because of that, and I totally understand that, but this is something that I'm not deflated about because I've been living this for 30 years as a season ticket holder not that many at Rogers Center, 20 plus, but the fact that they're just realizing that we have a bigger problem here, and unless you create, if you put a winner on the team, on the field I should say, it doesn't really sell here in Toronto.
By itself.
Just, but you know what does sell? Atmosphere sells. Just like what the TFC did at their soccer facility and with their fans. Awful record. Have never made the playoffs. But they get people out to the game. Do you know why? Because the atmosphere, that end zone crowd, behind the net, okay, crowd, behind the goal crowd, I should correct myself, that's what makes the attraction. That's what makes the vibe. That's what makes the electricity pop in the stadium, even when you're losing 4-0 in a soccer game. 4-0, correct myself. Okay? So this is proof in the pudding that atmosphere can sell, and it doesn't have to be a winner all the time. And this is what the Argo Lifers section does. This is what happens in other stadiums with Rider fans, with TICAF fans, and this is what we are trying to prove that can happen here in Toronto. And we are proving it. One game at a time, one fan at a time, and we're getting our fans now, Frank. I mean, people who are sitting in other sections are coming over, and the ushers are telling them to go back to the section because they want to sit with us, okay? So I do feel part of the game. We feel like we are the extra man when we are doing this. And believe it or not, the TICAT players and all the other teams used to love coming to Toronto. Do you know why? Because they knew they were on an even keel, or scale, I should say, when it comes to playing Toronto. Toronto, the Rogers Centre is not their home turf, okay? They don't get to practice in it. They come in just like a visitor does. The day before, gets to go on the field a couple times, throw the ball around, and let's go, game time, and that's it. So what advantage do we have on home turf? None. We just didn't have to fly in. That's the only advantage. Ooh, beat, all right? Well, here we go now. So now the visitors are not so happy to come here. Maybe no, they're happy to come here, perhaps, like Toronto, whatever, but it's not as much of a comfort zone. It's not a picnic on the visitor side anymore. I mean, they're going to know, and they're going to get a little distraction from us. So we did our job, what we had to do, and we had a lot of fun at it, Frank. So thank you for your part and for all the Argo Lifers that were putting everything into it that game, and it just turned out an awesome atmosphere and an awesome experience. So if you guys want to, if anybody listening out there wants to check out what we look like, what we do, check out on Facebook the Toronto Argonauts boat logo page. Toronto Argonauts boat logo page, okay? And you'll see the recent pictures of us and, a little bit of what we're about and stuff like that. So, yeah, let's do it again, Frank. We got, what, July 11th coming up? Is that our next game? Yes, it is. And guess who it's against? Rider Country! Rider Country! Where's that Rider song? Rider Country!
Okay, you know what? After the next break, we're gonna take a short break from the studio and go out to the practice facility where I had a chance to talk to a fan named Rye McClelland, and I still can't believe that his favorite drink isn't rye. I still can't believe it. Yeah, this is a double. You know, absolutely, I can't believe it. Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to fan Ry McClelland, and this was at the Double Blue game or the Argo Blue Boat Logo game. Boat, you know, it was that
double
place
blue
we were
game.
At.
Double Blue game.
Double Blue game. We'll call it Double Blue game. Yeah, okay.
All right.
B-L-E-L-L-A-N-D. They call me Bluto, B-L-U-T-O.
Bluto, okay. Let me ask you a question. What's your favorite alcohol?
Well, if we're not counting beer.
How you doing, Mike?
If we're counting beer, it's Harp Lager.
Okay,
if we're counting booze, I kind of have to say Gibson's. They sent me to the Grey Cup a couple years ago.
Good for them. The reason I said is because your name is Rye. I would have thought that you would have said Rye, but that's beside the point.
Not a whiskey guy. Yeah.
Not a whiskey guy?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk first.
Gibson.
Let's talk first about how long have you been an Argo fan? And
I don't know. I'm 39 now, so.
37 years?
Pretty much since I was aware of anything, yeah.
What makes the Argo so attractive for you to follow?
Well, for me, it's just the longstanding history with the team. I've been an Argo fan since my old man and my uncle dragged me along to the games down at the X. Aside from that, it's probably the most approachable major sport you could want. I mean, here we are at the front row of the practice, and you know, they're not charging us a dime to be here and watch football. Gotta love it.
Now, share with us some of the great moments in your memory with the Argonauts.
Well, the Grey Cups all stand out naturally.
Any favorites?
I liked 04, but it was awful cold. You know, naturally the 100th was special. The Flutie years. I mean, the first Grey Cup for me obviously was 83, and that was nice for 10-year-old Rye to go and watch, especially after in 82, 9-year-old Rye got sent home crying. You know, they made it up to me next year.
I have a sense that maybe you're not alone with that sentiment.
Getting some nods from next to me here, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. The biggest thing about 83 was it's been 31 years since they won a Grey Cup. Now 10-year-old Rye wouldn't know that, but he would know that,
you know
the team had history.
I was told that by my dad, my uncle, and everyone who sat in our section that, you know, finally the curse was going to break. This was going to be the year. Conrad and Terry are going to do it. And, you know, darned if they didn't.
And they sure did. Tell me about the year. How do you see this year shaking out?
You know, I always get nervous when I'm this confident going into a year. When I feel like we probably should be the best team in the East, that's when I start to really worry. But when you end the year on a 5-game winning streak like we had, and not just beating our opponents, but handling them, even the Montreal game was a way closer score than by rights it should have been. You know, they stopped us on their goal line a couple of times. We had a turnover in there that shouldn't have happened. But we weren't just beating good teams, we were handling them. And coming into this year, having the offense intact as it is, I got to feel like we should be competing for first in the East, at the least.
On a good news, you were mentioning my little flasher that I created.
Yes, very
I
handsome.
I used it in an interview that about a day or so later. TSN gave the TSN guy a mic with a flasher on it.
I'll take credit for that. May I take your picture?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pride in the green.
you have it. The Green Riders. Winning is their game. Mind you, though, you know, the Argos have won more Grey Cups than they have. 16, I think. And counting. Maybe John went to get a coffee.
I'm here. I'm here, Frank. I just didn't like the whole song was on.
You didn't like
joking.
The... What?
No, I was just joking. I'm just joking.
That was
I
your request. You requested
Yeah, but only more, only a little bit. Now we have to play the Argo Notes at some point. And we got to get...
Sure.
The Argo
sure.
Notes album? Well, we have
to, yeah, I got a few cuts. I got a cut here or there. Okay, let's talk about... you
Friday.
Know,
let's talk about Friday again. You know what I want to talk about Friday?
Oh, wait. Let's not talk about Friday yet. But we'll talk about Friday in a second. But we are going to talk about the ring. What did you think of the ring?
Nice.
Good enough. I thought it was nice, too. It's heavy. It feels good on the finger. I got to try one on. It was good. Wow. I mean, carrying that thing around, holy crap. You know,
wow. What are you going to say except for nice?
Very nice. Very
thoughtful,
awesome. Too. Very thoughtful,
too. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I wish I had one. And
me, too.
Okay. So
now that's the thing. Now, let's talk about – let's catch up with what happened for the folks there. Cackert was on the CFTO News doing the sports. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah? No.
You didn't see it?
I didn't see it. What day? Which day?
You know what? I'll see if I can – I have it on my PVR. I'll see if I can copy it and post it. Apparently, I didn't see CO's version or RR's version.
Well, what's the big deal about it?
But CK's version was pretty good. Well, they really do. They are cruel. You know, they're cruel. They gave him only tennis reports with all the tennis names. You know the tennis names, John? Eastern European.
They want to make it into a little funny shtick. You know what I mean? They want to put the player on the spot. They don't want to make it go smoothly. They want to put him in a little bit of a uncomfort zone. So if that's what they did, it's just another PR move. And it is where it is. Good for Chad.
He did a great job. He truly did. I mean, all those names, it's really tough. That was really tough. He did a great job. You'd think he was running through the front line of the defense the way he handled it. Did a great job.
I got to see that. Really Speaking of great job, Lindsay Lamar, okay? Can we just say Williams who on the Ticats? I mean, that guy, that 104-yard run back, that kind of shocked the heck out of me. Okay, and I'm sure Mr. Williams is sitting there watching the game going, oh, crap. That's not what he wanted. He didn't want to see Lamar run back 104 yards kind of put the seal on it that who needs you? See you later. Adios, amigo.
But this is one of the reasons why, you know, we always talk about the wonderful personalities and the wonderful people that make up the CFL, you know, not just the players, management, everybody and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'll pat everybody in the back. But sincerely speaking, the players are very approachable. They're really good guys. And their humility is obvious. And part of the reason why, you know, the CFL is lucky that they can pick the teams can pick quality people is because there are a lot of players who wish they could be playing professional football.
Yep.
And guys like Williams, you know, there are a few guys in the CFL, they basically price themselves out of the league. And you don't have to go that high to price yourself out of the league. You know, it's not just about ability playing in the CFL. There's a budget. There's a cap. There's a reality.
I don't know if we want to go deep about Williams. I'm not sure if it's Williams
referring to him alone. Let me be clear about what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what I will say about Williams is, when he takes himself out of the equation, he underestimates how easy it is to replace him. In my opinion.
Yeah, well, I don't think Austin's going to be picking up the phone saying, Williams, we need you back. You know, he did what he did, and I think it has a lot to do with family and his agent chirping in his ear. And these kind of things happen, and it's
yeah. I don't. to be honest with you, John, I really, honestly, I don't care why. All I care about, for example, if I'm an Argo fan and I got a guy who's holding out for more money, right?
Yeah.
And the team finds somebody to do the job as good or better than him, you know, it's a business. And, you know, that's what it is. It's a business. I mean, and I'm in the business of cheering for a team, and it has to be, it has to be understood that what we want for the team is to play as well as they can. And Barker's job and Milanovic's job is to be competitive. If a guy
speaking
doesn't
of Mr.
want to
Barker,
play,
speaking of Barker and being competitive, that was a little bit of foresight for him to sign Mr. Prefontaine. And now with Swazi out, he's gone for 2 weeks at least. So that was a little bit of left field that we were going to end up having to deal with this kind of a problem so early. And I know Pri's probably a little bit shocked by it too. So we'll see how that turns out on Thursday. If his hip is okay, if his surgery recovery went well, I'm just going to be, you know, kind of grimacing a little bit if he tries to go in there. And you know how Prefontaine is. He likes to go and make the tackle. And I don't think you can take the football out of player, out of the football player that Pri is. He's not your typical kicker. He's one of those kickers that you love to have. But at the same time, I'm just a little bit concerned about when he takes a shot. I hope he can handle it, and I just hope we don't have another situation that we had on Friday night where we had the players kicking field goals and punting. I didn't even know it until we're so caught up in cheering and stuff. And I'm going, why are we going on third and five? I mean, we usually kick a field goal. And then I realized that he wasn't available, so lucky for us, I think it was that was the following play, and I think Barnes caught the his first touchdown for the game for that one. It was
Spencer
a little bit
Watt,
of a shock. So
Spencer Watt was doing the kicking.
Yes, and I think Barnes did the field goal afterwards. Extra point, I should say. I think he kicked the extra point afterwards. So I don't know. I can't really recall. Like I said, we were having too much fun celebrating the touchdown. So by
here's
the time
the,
they...
Here's the problem. Right? Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I was just going to pick up on what you just said. And here's the problem of being the kind of fans we are. We are so engrossed and so focused on being a detriment to the opposition. And we slow down like... The high level of intensity is on defense, as we've mentioned it. And when we say that, you have to understand, I'm not kidding. I mean, the intensity is on defense. When offense comes in, now we're all taking a break, drinking our beer. Hey, how did that go? Are we doing okay? No, you got to be a little more rowdy, a little more on the and you know, we're not watching what's going on in the game. And I have to come home, and I'm sure you do the same thing. I have to come home and watch the game. Came on my PVR the next day or the night, depending how energetic I am, to watch the game to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And like you, I had no idea Swayze was hurt.
No, me neither.
I get home and I see on the TV, I see Watt kicking a point after. I'm going, what? He catches
no,
it. John.
When I saw it, Frank, when I saw it, I go, oh, wait a minute. That's what happened. I had no freaking clue, you know. It was, like I said, we get pretty intense in our cheering, too. By the way, the 8 cowbells that we brought, only 6 survived. That's how intense the cowbell ringing was. 2 of the cowbells broke on us. Basically, the bell inside just had too much of it, and we had a couple of them that just were out of commission. But that just goes to show, and I have to applaud the Argo lifers. Not even one defensive drive was missed as far as noise making was going on or cheering or just getting into the game. And it was one of those games where if you're a fan, it was the best scenario and the best outcome, obviously. So I'd like to just encourage everybody again, July 11th, if you want to go and check out a game, you got to check it out. And if you can't check it out, catch it on the tube. And if you can't catch it on the tube, then find a way to find it and look it up. And speaking of looking it up, where is Mike from Minnesota? hardcore CFL guy. I liked the show you had with him on last week, and I heard he was on the actual show last Friday. Was he not, Frank? You had
him? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We lost him. I don't know why, but we did. We definitely didn't hang up on him. I know that.
Really knowledgeable, intelligent guy who knows the CFL stuff, and it's pretty impressive. And he did touch upon something, Frank, that we don't really realize up here, is that there are a lot of football fanatics down in the States that appreciate good football. And what I mean by that, what I'm trying to lead to, is that they appreciate good CFL football and the entertainment factor of it. This is the reason why I'm such a big CFL fan. I'm an NFL fan. That's where I grew up first, being as a little one. And then I gradually grew into the CFL because of, you know, the friends and the environment that I was exposed to, and I caught the bug. And lucky for me, I caught it a long, long time ago, and it's still inside me. So I understand his point, and I understand when he was trying to, you know, express to us that there are Americans down in the States that appreciate the CFL and the entertainment that it brings and provides. And they should know best, more than we should. I think we're a little bit spoiled up here because we get to see it live. And the ones that don't get to see it miss out. Okay, and that's the reason why I said Mr. Rudge is a little bit upset with the population of, you know, Toronto and their sports fans, that they classify the Toronto Argonauts and the CFL still in the C class of sports, if you want to call it. Okay, so Mike down there is a prime example that if you really appreciate football, you're going to follow it no matter how far you are. And it's sad that we don't have people here in Toronto who actually live in the city and have easy access and plenty of seats to go around, don't take advantage of it. But you know what, Frank? It'll come together slowly, surely, and it doesn't really bother us, does it? We're just having a great old time, aren't we?
Yeah. I guess what I can add to that is, you're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio, and we're here with John No Stranger Granger, obviously no stranger to the Argos and no stranger to being an Argo lifer. And if you're interested in calling, you can call in at 714-242-5250. And I'll remind you as well that this show is repeated. If you're listening to it right now and you missed the beginning, you can watch it or listen to it, sorry. Well, you do kind of watch it too, because I do take the time to put some stuff on the kaleidoscope for you to look at. One of the things I put up there is the ticket board for the Argos. And, of course, a beautiful picture of Dan, Frank, and John. And that would be Dan Ferrone, John Granger, and myself. And you know, it is a lot of fun going to the games, and you know, being beside the Hamilton fans, it's really beginning to become clear, and that, you know, we're doing some catching up here. We're closing the gap. If people think that Argo fans are not boisterous or loud, we're hoping to change that, and I think we've done a good job. They've noticed. In fact, you pick up every newspaper, apparently, from what John's told me, and there's a picture of our group in there doing our thing. I was disappointed, of course, that TSN didn't show much of us.
Oh, Frank, don't open up a can of worms with that TSN situation, and you just did, okay? Because I'm going to tell you why we weren't on, all right? And I had to go as far as to
write.
Be sure
about the reason.
Oh, I'm sure about the reason. And you know what? I don't mind voicing it, and I might get a little retaliation from TSN for voicing it, but it is what it is, and it is a fact, okay? During the first quarter, their field-level cameraman, who works on the visitor's side to the left of us between, you know, the 50 and the goal line, closest to the Jumbotron screen, came up into the Argo Lifer section, right up to our row, right beside the drums, and on offense. Remember, this was our first offensive drive, the one that Ray got the TD down, touchdown, the very first drive. Well, halfway through the drive, he comes up the stairs, and he comes to us and he says, "Okay, give me something good," meaning noise, you know, action. And we looked at him, and everybody starts going, "We don't make noise on offense. What are you talking about?" And then I explained to him, I said, "Bud, come back on defense. We'll make all the noise you want for you, but we're not doing it on offense. We're just not doing it." he puts his camera down to his waist, like dejected, and he goes, well, fine, if that's your attitude. And he goes back on the field. You know what, Frank? What bothered me about that, not that he said, fine, that's your attitude, but for the rest of the entire game, that's 3.5 quarters, okay, 90% of the first quarter, he purposely avoided us the entire section. Okay.
Well,
and
I'm gonna interrupt that comment, John.
Hold
we
on,
don't know
no,
that.
Let me finish. No, let me finish first.
Well,
I know
that
the producer. Hold on. I know that the producer who does the game, it's his call. But it's the camera people on the field that give him the eyes to pick which shot he should go to. So unless the camera guy decides to go to something in the crowd, the producer doesn't know it's there. So he can't say, I've worked at CBC, I worked behind the scenes, so I know exactly how this follows through. So this guy purposely the entire game avoided any shots, and we're the only people on 100 level, Argo fans, with flags, with drums, with cowbells, all in Argo colors, and we're being avoided. We're being ignored. Why? Because this guy didn't get what he wanted when he wanted it. Well, you know what, Frank? Argo lifers don't give a shit, and I'm going to say shit, about being on TV just for the sake of being on TV. That's not what we're about. That's not what the extra man in the stands is about, okay? So if TSN wants shots, go to the friggin' end zone or come to us when we're on defense. But otherwise, don't give me a thing like, oh, if that's your attitude, and then purposely ignore us so the people in the States, so the people across this country can't see that we do have supporters in our stands and that we are colorful and that we are vocal. Instead, what does this guy do? He did the worst thing he could possibly do, and he pissed me off. And for that, I'm writing letters, and I'm going to let them know. It might not go anywhere, Frank, but it's also not going to go underneath the rug and just get avoided and ignored, because this is what happens all the time, okay,
but John,
in Toronto.
You know what, John? Now, may I be the devil's advocate here?
Sure.
Oh, don't
try.
Well, it better not be. Okay.
Try me.
Here's all I'm going to say is it's the same guy that was last year, and he did some stuff, and he took some stuff of us, and we were on there a few times. I don't doubt what you're saying, John. I'm disappointed in the sense that there's no need for him to say, you know, I don't understand the question in the first place. And the question being, you know, can you give me some excitement now? I mean, it's happening.
Like,
as if
we do it on
automatically.
Cue. I mean, that's
happening
fake.
Automatically.
That's fake. I mean, we're
no, but John, no, I agree with you. No, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything other than he didn't have to come and tell us to come and do it. Half the time we're doing it on our own anyway.
Absolutely, Frank.
I get it. I mean, but that's all I want to say.
You know what happened, Frank?
This
is what happened. This guy,
I don't know.
Hold on a second. No, let me explain what happened in his mind. This guy is used to, because cameramen have a power. Okay, they get attention, they get people screaming for them, come put me on, you know, so they get that power trip. So when they come to you, they expect you to be on beck and call for them and say, right now, go. And the people start screaming and yelling, just so they get their face on TV. That's not what, don't come to us. He doesn't understand that. You know, if you don't understand that, you can accept that, then grow up, buddy. And he is the same cameraman. He's going to be there for the rest of the season because he was there last season too. Okay, so I get it. That's
you know, I don't think he has anything against us, John. In my opinion, I don't think he has anything against us. I think, Frank.
I don't If I don't get a reply from TSN, they did reply to me and said they're going to look into it and they're going to send it to the proper departments. Okay, you know, I'm sure they got frivolous complaints all the time from people, but you know what? They usually don't get complaints where I'm complaining. Don't put us on TV. Just for the sake of putting us on TV, but respect us as fans, and don't expect us to go on cue just because you come with the power trip camera in your hand and you think we're going to scream and yell for you. And Frank, I didn't even know he was there until people brought it to my attention, and then they were all telling him, come back. And then I kind of pointed out to him, dude, come back on defense and we'll give it to you, because I wouldn't bang the drum for the guy. I mean, come on. Give me a break. We're on offense. I'm not going to do it to the boys. They're trying to get us a touchdown, and this guy's trying to make us – distract them? Get out of here, buddy. Just get the hell out of here. So, Frank, yeah, don't get me into the TSN situation.
Okay,
as far as
anyway.
Scale
anyway,
of 1
I,
to 10,
I,
their job on Friday, not so good. Okay, let's forget about us. What about the end zone guys? Not one shot of the end zone crowd. Okay? So what's up with that? If, you know, it just, they better pull their socks up as far as their production goes, because they signed a long contract with the CFL. And if this is the way they expose the fanism in the stands, well, let's just say they suck at it right now. Altogether, they suck. And that's just from the incident from Friday,
Frank.
The reason
I mentioned it, I understand what you're saying, John, and I don't disagree too heartily against what you're saying. The reason I raised it up is that you know, it's that enthusiasm of the fans at the game. You know, and this is no disrespect to the game, obviously. I mean, obviously I love the game. I go there to watch the game. But they're showing a little disrespect to the fans and the fans of Toronto and the ability to sell the game. I mean, they're missing an opportunity by not showing how excited the people are that are at the game. You know,
Frank,
it is what it is.
We were the only ones with flags. We had like a half a dozen flags. We had like, you know,
like
8 to 12 cowbells.
Like you said,
unbelievable.
You're right. You said that, and I think everybody heard that. But I'm not talking about Frank or John or anyone else. I'm talking about, I don't care, even if it's a kid with a bell, with an Argo jersey on, with the paint. You know, they got to do more of that, not less. And that's where I'm.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
The same point. Listen, I don't want to get the.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just trying to say.
I know, but I just don't want to get viewers to get a misunderstanding that, oh, we want the, you know, where he's complaining indirectly, saying that he really wants the camera.
No, I
understand out there. The end zone people. Does anybody out there know that we have actually really good end zone crowd? I mean, the end zone fans in the end zone are unbelievable. They got their own drum.
They're not hard to find. They're in the end zone.
Well, hello. Yeah, but we got two. Don't forget it, Frank. Hello, you know. But I'm just saying, they're there. Do we ever see them on TV? Never.
What's the problem with that? I never noticed. I thought last year,
This is the problem, Frank. A guy who worked in broadcasting.
Yeah, but last
I'll tell you what the
TSN
problem is.
TSN was showing the crowd a lot.
No, they weren't. The end zone. Hold on a second. Let me tell you what the problem is. They're cheapskates. Okay, they don't put enough camera guys on the field. So what they do is they use the field level guys who are supposed to do the shots for the visitors' benches and the home bench. And what they do is they have them go and they do camera shots from the field. And those guys only hang around between the 50-yard lines. Okay, so you're always going to get the vocal deadbeats out there who they get shots of. And that's between the 250-yard lines because these guys can't leave. They have a certain range that they have to, you know, only on the field, but they don't put anybody in the stands.
It's just like John, when they used to, last year they came a few times before the game, and they took shots that they used later in the game. You know, I think you're answering the question yourself, and I think if you think about it, I don't think I know for a fact, I want to believe that there's no animosity between TSN and the fans, any fans in the stadium, because I think it's counterproductive for you know, TSN and the fans to not have a good relationship. So at the end of the day, I'll be honest and factual about this. I was disappointed with the way TSN showed the fans. They showed them in a very limited. I don't care about me. It's not about me. It's about fans in general, because you know, it's all about. The atmosphere that you refer to, the passion, you know.
Frank,
show it on the screen.
Opener.
Show that it exists.
Yes, season opener. To start off with 29,000. Arrival in the stadium, you know. And that's all? They showed a couple people. I mean, it's not about showing the people. It's how their poor advertising or their poor selling of the fanism that there is out there. And I don't know if I'm making up a word, fanism, here, but it's disappointing. And I did watch the game after I got home. I couldn't watch it till the next day. I watched it from 1 to 4 in the morning. It had a rerun on TSN2. So I watched it. And later on I realized, hold on a second, what the hell? They showed none of the noise making. We were cheering on defense. There was an atmosphere in the third, fourth quarter that was not, you know, nonstop, and nothing. They didn't even show the Ticat fans. Okay, you know, and
They showed a couple of times. And the part I didn't like, and this is the part I don't like, is that they showed like one Ticat fan in the middle of a crowd. You know what I mean? And there were lots of groups of people that were excited for the Ticats when they did something well. And it almost looks bad, you know, to have one person standing
sad.
Up.
And Frank, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. We do understand it's about the game on the field mostly. But
for
this situation and what the outcome was after what we experienced, you know, right in front of all of us. And it wasn't me. I mean, I was so proud of the other Argo lifers that they were already putting the stop to it before it even came to my attention. Okay, because I'm in the middle of the row, so I didn't see the guy at the end of it until everybody else was starting to tell him, not now. And then I just kind of had to point it out. Yeah, I'm not beating my drum for you right now. Come back on defense. Why am I going to make noise when Ricky's lining up to call the play and the snap? I mean, come on. Give me a freaking break. Get out of here. So we'll see what the situation is. We'll see how it follows up. I don't really care. I just had to voice and vent. Because if people don't, okay, then we are a weak society, all right? And I'm so proud of everybody that was at the game. I mean, you know, it just turned out to be a great atmosphere with a great bunch of people. And the people that joined us this year, the new season ticket holders in our section, great bunch of people. And by the way, Randy Christinger, the Wolfpack, who were doing the game, came by and gave us our A sign, Argo Lifer sign. And what up? Randy, and good to see you again on the field. And I want to say also a prop out to shout out to Christopher Johnson, Chris Johnson down in California, who's probably listening to the show tonight, and also Aaron McIntosh, who was a new lifer this year, who joined us, Frank, this is what I love about it, from another part of the stadium and came to be with us. And he's just another addition to the Argo Lifer section. He turned out to be a great vocal and colorful guy, and that's the kind of people we want and we love having. That's the kind of CFL fan generally is around this country. And it was just a great night. And what a great weekend, besides that little dud that happened in Edmonton, okay? Maybe it was a dud for Edmonton, not so much for the Rider fans. They loved it. But all around, wasn't it a super exciting weekend on CFL action this past first week?
It was pretty good. I mean, and we'll come back after a break and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the four games we discussed. I guess we've discussed, we could probably finish discussing the Argo one and move on to the other games that were played. And we'll move to those when we come back. We're going to take a short break. In fact, we're going to take a long break. I got a Damian Cox interview. We'll do the Damian Cox interview. And we'll be back in about 9 minutes.
Sweet. Let's do that.
Travis Lule.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you're like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's accurate.
He's articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion.
He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning, TSN 1050.
1, 2, 3.
We're the Argo cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. One, two, three.
We're the Argo cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There we go, Frank. There you go.
Thank you.
Seal 2. Chad Owens, favorite player ever. He's from Hawaii, playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good, he's real good.
He's into MMA.
From the gridiron to the octagon. He's got game. This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one.
He's got a great cup. He's a family man.
Team player. Dedication to the max. True blue through and through. I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning.
Okay, we're with Damian Cox, Bob Stelic's, one of Bob Stelic's friends, who happens to be the brother of another friend of his, Gord Stelic.
Yeah.
No, seriously, okay. Damian Cox here with us. Damian, I see you here at this mock game. What do you hope to glean from this?
Well, I guess it's my first look at the Argos this year, you know. I mean, reigning Grey Cup champions, and of course, within the whole realm of Toronto and all the teams and everything that's been going on, it's a sort of a chance to catch up and see where they are. There's 83 players here, a lot of the same faces that won the Grey Cup last year and some new ones. So it's sort of a starting point. It's kind of, I was thinking about this on the way here of, you know, there's always a continuum in the CFL, but with the CFL, there's always a brand new start as well because it's just the nature of the league. So it's a brand new start.
Well, one thing about the CFL is you can turn it around rather quickly. The Argos have proven it, and actually it's been proven over the years. Isn't that really one of the reasons why the game is so interesting in the CFL? It really is, you know, what the NHL tries to, you know, equality between the teams, when in fact they can't achieve it. But in the CFL, they seem to do it year after year.
Well, there's hope every year, every team. And I think that as fans, that's what people like. You know, they want to hope. Now, some teams have been more successful than others, we know that, but there's hope every year. There's parity every year because there's hope. And, you know, it's been an 18 team for a while now, and soon it's going to be a 9-team league, and there's going to be hope in Ottawa again, which I think is exciting for all of us. And at the same time, just because you won the Grey Cup last year doesn't mean you're about to start with a string of Grey Cups. In fact, recent history has shown that to be really, really difficult, which makes the challenge for this year's Argonauts that much greater.
Yeah, they do have a big target on their backs, don't they?
Well, I think the Argonauts always do. You know, they always have a big target on their backs, regardless of whether they've won the previous year or not. But I think this year, you know, the way things went, Ricky Ray, the quarterback, they've got some better-known guys probably than before. So, yeah, I mean, and in the East, you know, they look like the team that's got it most together right now, which means that Hamilton, Montreal, and Winnipeg are all going to be gunning for them.
Absolutely, and it'll probably be in this year, this past year, I should say, Edmonton crossed over. I think it's even going to be easier for the West to cross over this year because of the three dynamos they have out there.
Well, who knows what's going to happen in the East, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We just don't know. I mean, you know, the thinking is in Montreal with the new coaching staff there that they may be taking a step back, and how long can Anthony Calvillo go on for? Mm-hmm. Winnipeg had a very tough year, but they've got a new stadium, so there's new exciting. Hamilton, your guess is as good as mine, all right? With Ken Austin, they're going to be playing their games in Guelph. They're going to be all over the place. So I think that's part of what makes the 2013 season look kind of interesting.
I guess with Hamilton, the hope is that they identified the problem, and the problem from last year, the major problem, the one that they could put on real easy, was the defense. The offense appeared, anyway, to be very functional and very effective. The defense, not so much, and Austin's taken a lot of time this year to steal players from the Argos, BC, and of course, Saskatchewan. So he's made some moves, at least on paper, that look like the defense should be better this year in Hamilton.
But personnel's always, you know, always part of it in the Canadian Football League, and certainly with Canadian players, you've got to have them. It's hard to be competitive. You know, Hamilton's changed their personnel so many times in the past decade, yet had similar results all the time. I'm a Hamilton boy, so I always watch them.
Why
I watch them pretty closely. So, you know, there's hope because there are some new people, but, you know, there's something within that organization, I think, that doesn't allow them to do the things they need to do on a consistent basis. And what that is and whether it'll change under Ken Austin or with the new stadium comes in, we're going to see. But, again, like you said before, I mean, you know, there's a chance in every city you can go from worst to first.
With a couple of good moves.
Yeah, and they should be able to score, but can they stop anybody?
That's the key. Now, about the fans in Toronto, I'm part of a group. We're called the Argo Lifers, and we're in Section 134B. And our intention is to make a lot more noise than Argo fans have been given credit. But as a reporter, you've been around all the different leagues. How much work do we have to do here to ramp up the excitement in the stands?
You know, the funny thing is about in Toronto, having watched, you know, Argonaut football for, geez, more than 20 years, it's never a question about the people that are there being loud. It's a question of how many people are there. You know, and when they fill the place, Lord knows we've seen it at the Grey Cup or even for a couple of Eastern Finals. It's as loud as any place.
Any place. I was at the Grey Cup last year.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing I took back, is that it was elbow to elbow. I was in the middle of a bunch of Calgary fans, and I had my little horn, and they kept telling me to put it down.
Yeah.
And it is a real fun thing when you're in a stadium where there's no empty space, because the sound comes so much clearer. And I'm sure you guys can hear it up in the press box, too, where it's just an enveloping sound, as opposed to you're in a cavern. And it doesn't ramp up the excitement. You're right, when we have less
No, and I mean, that's a challenge. It's always been a challenge in Toronto. And now the challenge is translating the success from last year into getting more fans in the seats. And if you get more fans in the seats, I don't think there's ever a doubt it's going to be loud.
And the experience is a lot better with more fans in the seats. There's some talk that the Rogers Centre is going to go to natural grass. What can you share with us as far as that's concerned and how it may or may not affect the Toronto Argonauts in a location for them to play?
Well, that's what they say. I mean, Paul Beeston, the boss of the Blue Jays, says that's what they're doing. They're going to grass. And I think that'll preclude the Argonauts. Now, what happens from there, I don't know. I mean, look, any of us who love the Canadian Football League would love to have seen a new stadium in Toronto 10 years ago. Howard Sokolowski and David Cinnamon had a great dream. If it had been realized at Varsity Stadium, anyone who's gone past there and seen what they've been able to do now can imagine how great it would have been to have it there. Okay. It's unfortunate it didn't work out. You know, it's hard to see them building something now. Yeah. But, you know, they may have no choice or they may have to look for somewhere else. So certainly for fans of the Canadian Football League and of the Argonauts, that's a worrisome development if and when it happens for the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays got lots of problems right now. They don't need to worry about that.
No kidding. You know, the thing that jumps out at you is that we have a city hall that doesn't have an appetite for supporting sports in any way or fashion. So if the Argos are in a position where they have nowhere to play, that's going to raise an interesting situation between the public and, of course, the city doing what they want to do, because they won't be able to. Argos will not be able to afford, based on their, you know, their depths of pockets. They're not deep. They're like the guy with deep pockets and short arms.
Yeah.
What solution is there? I guess we'll all have to stay tuned.
You know, I mean, I guess you can look at it from my position as from a sports media point of view, where you want to see them get a new stadium, or you can look at it from a citizen's point of view, where we already paid for a stadium once that they're playing in, and that's now owned by Rogers. So, yeah, so I don't know what the answer is. I can't see the public appetite for building it, helping build a new stadium. So, you know what? I don't know what the answer is. Part of the answer may be eventually that David Braley, I would think, is going to sell this team to somebody. And if it's somebody local who can drive the construction of a new stadium, then that's probably the answer.
The answer may very well be that Rogers completes the set.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? And maybe, you know, right now I don't think ownership is treating them too well. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a possibility that makes some sense as well. So there's so many variables right now, and we're a couple of years away, but it's probably something that the Argonauts have to start thinking about now.
Thanks, Damien.
Okay.
Pleasure, my friend.
All right, no problem. Hey. Talk again.
Okay, so you notice how we got into the conversations that actually just picked up where we left off with John. And I had a good opportunity to take a breath and think about what Damien said. And the subject matter, we discussed it. It's all good. Promise we talk about the other games. And sure enough, Montreal defeated Winnipeg 38-33. I watched that game that night. Was my daughter's graduation. And it was a great game. But like many, I wasn't impressed with the officiating at the end of the game. But that goes without saying that, you know, being an official, you're going to do something someone doesn't like. And that night, I didn't like what I saw. I'm sure the Montreal fans agreed wholeheartedly with the way the game was called. But having said that, Winnipeg... As became obvious, weren't as bad. And Hamilton wasn't as good as the game they played with each other. Montreal looked like they might have some problems on defense. Their offensive line or their schemes weren't as tricky as maybe they've been in the past. Calvillo, he was a bit of a punching bag, more than usual. But Montreal was full value for their victory. It was another CFL game. You know, there were only four CFL games played. And if you add up all the scores, I bet you they add up to more than all the NFL games in 1 week combined.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. I'm still lingering about the Cox interview you had.
Why?
Well, because he had some good points there. At the same time, he pointed out a couple things I don't agree with him about is that, you know, he says the fans that do go there, there's always been noise and stuff like that. Well, then if that's the case, then why are we getting ridiculed by Stiegel on the TSN panel, the football panel, always saying, you know, Argo fans for the last, you know, he's been doing it since 2005, 2006, where he's been going on air saying how bad we are, how quiet we are. If that's the case, Mr. Cox, then why are we getting such bad reputation for being quiet and being duds in the stands? So I have to disagree with him about that. The other thing is about the stadium situation that he mentioned. He's not even sure, and like he said, the Blue Jays, Beeston's already told the Argos, you're out, okay? And I can't see it happening down the road.
Well,
I can see it happening.
Let's get the political landscape correct, John. He hasn't told the and Damian said it the exact right way, which is they said they're getting grass, and they don't have to say Argos, your history. By getting grass, we all know the Argos are history at the Rogers Center.
Yeah. We are history at the Rogers Center.
But if you argue with the people at Rogers, they're going to say, well, we never said that we're going to kick the Argos out.
Not yet, anyway. I'm getting a bad taste in my mouth about the Blue Jay management in general, okay? Because they are now really pointing out that they consider the CFL and the Argonauts not major league and not a concern to them. Remember, this stadium was built on the premise that it was going to be used for the facility for the Argonauts and the Blue Jays, so they have a place to play, a proper place to play. Okay.
In other words, John, come right out and say it. Taxes were used to build the stadium because of the sporting franchises that existed in Toronto that included the Toronto Argonauts. And Rogers got the stadium for peanuts.
Yeah, 25
and now
million,
aren't responsible for making a home for the Argos, as
yeah,
it was intended.
Yeah, well, evidently they're definitely doing their job as far as pushing them out, okay? And, Frank, the reason why the Argonaut management hasn't signed an extension for the last year and a half now, okay, they keep saying that it's in the works, is because they don't want to come out and say it, that we're gone. Well, we got to go find something right away. And it is going to be something here in Toronto with a entertainment group that is going to do something eventually. People have to be pushed and shoved and given deadlines and dilemmas, and all this stuff has to happen before they really get serious about it. Okay. So
let's get off this stuff, John. Let's get off this stuff, because I'll be honest with you. I'm sure the listeners are getting tired of hearing about the sad story that is the stadium issue with the Toronto Argonauts. Let's talk about the good news. We said we'd talk about the four games. To complete the Argo Hamilton, I want a real shout out to a Hamilton fan for whom which we would not have our buttons. Randy Newman, a Ticat fan, helped us with John getting a button, which I have now, which I have an Argo Lifer button. Thank you, Randy Newman, for doing that. We really appreciate it.
They were in high demand, Frank. I didn't have, when everybody started seeing them giving them out to the season ticket holders, of course, we had other Argo fans who wanted one, and I let Randy know afterwards that he did a great job with them, and yes, they were absolutely a hit. So thank you, Randy.
Because our way of thanking Randy, because Randy is a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, let's talk about the positives. We saw the positives about the Argos. The offense picked up where it left off last year. You and I think we agree also that the defense will be fine. Chris Jones is just too intelligent to not improve the development of the team throughout the season as he did last year. But from the Hamilton perspective, Fantuz.
My God.
He came from Saskatchewan. Hamilton fans have got so much to like there. He is such a great receiver, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he was unbelievable, actually, for the man. And Frank, oh, that last play, okay, where he almost caught that ball with one hand.
Absolutely.
He actually shined. I think this is the way he wanted to start last season, and it just never got going. And I think there were a lot of people that were doubting you know, OB signing him, and because the numbers were not there for Fantuz last year. As a matter of fact, the numbers were not there for a lot of Ticat players last year. So, yeah, what an amazing game by him. I was very impressed and also very, very concerned for us because every time the ball was going up to him, I don't remember besides that last play, did he drop any? I can't recall. That's how good he was that game.
He is outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Well,
outstanding.
John, that's why we go to the game.
That's why we go to the game. I mean, you know, there's no better way to win than win against a team that's playing well. You know, it's horrible if you remember those years when, you know, or it doesn't matter. Let's not be specific. It's horrible when your home team wins only because the other team played worse. You know, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to go to a game, to go to a game and have a good team be your home team. And in this case, obviously, until they're dethroned, have a great team as your home team, and then watch other great teams come in. I'm looking forward to this season. I'm happy with my predictions. I'm happy with what I've been saying all along. There will not be a crossover team from the West this year. The East will be the East, and that's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, and that to me is wonderful. Montreal, Hamilton, Toronto, and even Winnipeg, I think, and I refer to Winnipeg as the dark horse.
That's Winnipeg, Frank. Winnipeg surprised the hell out of me. Okay,
it didn't
against
surprise
Montreal.
Me.
I'm not surprised.
I told you last week that Winnipeg were not as bad as that game that they played against Hamilton. They had their issue with the marijuana issue that I think got into the dressing room and made a lot of players nervous, and it distracted them.
Well, it distracted them, but. You know, the game against Montreal, first of all, the beautiful stadium that they have is something that will give you an extra pumped-up feeling every time to be able to play in a facility like that. And visually, it was eye candy for me as far as stadiums go. I very envious of what they got there, and I think the rest of the league should be also. And their fans, you know, they had to wait an extra year to get it, but wow, what a beautiful stadium. And the team, you know, it could be either Montreal's defense weakness really showed or Winnipeg is going to be better than I think a lot of people anticipate them to be. Then again, you know, let's wait 4 games into the season and then I'll get a better idea of what Winnipeg is going to be like. So we'll see. Who do you think the weak team right now? Who do you think the weak team in week one is?
In the East or in the league?
In the league.
Edmonton.
Yes. Yeah. Edmonton. You know, I thought
Edmonton will have the worst record of everybody, in my opinion.
Yes and no. You think so? Really? The whole entire league?
Yeah.
Maybe, Frank.
Yep.
Yeah. You know,
I'm sure of it for two very important reasons. Well, make it three.
What's
for three
that?
Reasons. Calgary, BC, and Saskatchewan.
I thought you were gonna say quarterback.
That worked just as well.
Yes. So your call is that Edmonton's gonna suck.
It's not that No. This is what I'm going to say, John, and I want you to hear this very clearly. There are a lot of people that are missing the boat. This is going to be the most dynamic year in the CFL in years. The reason why Edmonton will look not so good is because they're just that much, just that narrow, slim edge, maybe a quarterback, you want to say that, a quarterback away from being competitive in the Western Division. As tough as the Western Division is going to be this year with Saskatchewan, the host of the Grey Cup, Calgary, the loser of the Grey Cup last year, and Winnipeg, BC, who are supposed to be in the Grey Cup, you got a lot of teams. All the other teams, Edmonton's up against it because every one of those teams is motivated extremely this year. Extremely.
Yep.
And then you have, what's the difference in the East? Not very freaking much. How motivated is Hamilton? Hello. Montreal. Hello. Winnipeg. New stadium, played like crap in the exhibition, have not had very good years, you know. And then you got Toronto that won the Grey Cup as a 9-9 team. This is probably, in my opinion, the perfect storm. This is going to be one of the most exciting seasons the CFL has ever seen. And if
you
think I'm saying that because I'm promoting the CFL, I am promoting the CFL. But I got to tell you something. I'm also telling the truth. That
well, because you know your football. You can see it in front of you. You can see how it's playing out right now. And I see it as Toronto and Hamilton fighting for first, Montreal third somewhere, maybe fighting with Winnipeg. Okay. I see Montreal really, to me, they have the biggest challenge, okay?
And that challenge is?
Their defense is not that good, okay? Winnipeg shouldn't have been that close. And I'm going to say that right out front. They shouldn't have been that close, okay, Frank? It shouldn't have been that tight of a game. I had Montreal to win in that game, and I'm happy with the result, but... their defense is not that strong. You know, I see them as the same situation that we might be in right now, but they have it a little bit worse. They got to rebuild with their coaching staff and all these new faces and all that stuff. We just have new faces. The coaching staff is there. But I wasn't impressed with Montreal. I expected them to win at least by double digits, at least. Now, you're going to say, Winnipeg is – you didn't expect Winnipeg to be so – what?
But still – You're giving Winnipeg some credit, too, for why that game was 38-33.
Yeah, I saw the game. Montreal's defense gave it up. That's they got a lot of holes in it. Right now I see Calgary.
John, that's what we said. That's what we said in January, remember?
Yeah, well, I see it more now.
They're the ones with the biggest motivation.
I don't want Calgary Stampeders fans to hear this or nothing, but I love Tate. I love Ricky Ray, but I think Tate is the future. That guy scares me every time. He's got the quarterback knowledge to make the drive, go all the way downfield and score on that drive. He's pretty impressive. I got to say, he is pretty impressive, and I just see this kid getting better. If that's a big if now. If he can stay injury-free, okay? But otherwise, I'm really impressed with that guy. I really am. I see Calgary going back to the Grey Cup, and I see, you know, Ryder fans might be a little bit disappointed here. Then again, you know, that's just me, a fan, talking, okay? What do I know? So that's my feeling on it anyway, Frank, and I think this week is going to be exciting.
The other half of that equation, okay, they played BC. BC came up – well, the game was won in Calgary. Let's remember that, folks, because home does mean something. Calgary won 44-32.
Calgary had the flood motivation.
Again,
you know.
Thank you, John. Jumping all over what I wanted to say, you thief.
Sorry.
You. But go ahead.
Shoot. Go.
No, go ahead.
I thought you were going to skip on that, so I thought I interjected and throw it in there. That was my feeling on that game because I really expected for it to be a little bit more tighter than it was, and you can see what it does to players, Frank. It motivated them, inspired them that people showed up when, you know, instead of helping and cleaning up and stuff, they came out to support because it was I think they were donating some funds to that game, and some players donated for the amount of yards they got and so forth and so on. So it inspired them, and it showed. That kind of stuff really does pull a team together. And in a way, it's kind of a blessing in disguise because it did it right at the beginning of the season. You know, usually you have to build a chemistry for a couple of games into the season with the players. I think those guys bonded really fast, okay? And I think they have a head start on everybody else just because of that kind of, you know, experience and the feeling that they got and the reception that they got. It was really nice. And to me, I'm not surprised, really. CFL fans are like that. They're the best fans to me in the whole league when it comes to caring about the team, the city, and, you know, in general. So,
perfect.
Yeah, Frank, the motivation was Calgary and the flood, yes. So what's the motivation
this
week?
Now we got one last game to talk about, and that is, of course, is we sort of kind of skimmed it a little bit, Saskatchewan. 39-18 over Edmonton in Edmonton. Oh, come on. Come on.
Choke.
Edmonton choked or what?
They choked. They choked. They didn't, the coaches didn't prep the players properly. That's what I'm going to say. Okay?
Well,
these guys were blowing,
you know.
They were blowing plays, coverages. I saw, you know, the quarterback getting a little bit frustrated with his receivers because they weren't running the right routes, and that just comes down to coaching. It's prepping your players. So, you know, I think – who's playing? I didn't check. Who does Edmonton play this week? Shoot, if I
know. Yeah, we'll find out. Here, hang on. Week one, can we move to
– Oh, wait, Hamilton. Don't they go to Hamilton?
Who's playing the same team twice? Was it Hamilton
Nobody.
That's playing? No. Somebody's playing twice in a row. I believe maybe it's here. Hang on, schedule. I'll go to schedule.
I think
here.
It's
we'll
Calgary
see
and Saskatchewan will be playing the
here.
Bills,
okay, here we go. Here's the scores from. Well, move up, buddy. Come on, be nice. Be nice to Frankie.
It's either Winnipeg or Edmonton. You, listeners are going out there, you idiots. It's this team. It's Edmonton or it's so-and-so. Yeah, but anyway, this is the – whoever's playing Edmonton this week, don't think it's going to be as easy as it was against Saskatchewan. Usually players have this personal feeling they gotta regroup. And as a team, they got to regroup, and they want to prove that wasn't what they are, you know, and that was a blowout. And their home opener at home, good crowd, not too good. So
there,
these guys
finally.
What you got?
There you go. See, like enough? I said, sorry, John, my computer froze. Winnipeg is at Montreal, so the two same teams are playing.
I'm talking about Edmonton, though.
Yeah, no, Edmonton's at Hamilton.
Okay, so
Toronto's
Hamilton.
At BC, Calgary's at Saskatchewan. Now,
you know
that Calgary and Saskatchewan is going to be, that's going to be a great game to watch. Toronto, BC, and Calgary and Saskatchewan. Ooh.
No, Frank, I'm going to twist it. That's not my favorite two. My favorite two is going to be Edmonton and Hamilton, okay, and the Calgary and Saskatchewan. All right?
Hamilton's going to crush them. Hamilton is going to crush them.
You think so? I don't think so.
Going to crush them. Hamilton is going to crush Edmonton.
Yeah, okay.
Crush
him. Well, we'll see.
Crush him.
You're saying double-digit win?
By that, you mean they'll win by at least 10 points?
10, 11, 12.
Absolutely. Absolutely, for sure.
All right.
Now, you're
okay.
A better gambler than I am. I'm just,
no,
you know,
I'm just a
guy.
I don't gamble. I hate gambling, Frank.
Okay.
I'm an educated guesser.
I got you. No, okay.
You gotta do your research. Never go by your gut. Gut usually gets you nowhere.
I have to go by my gut.
Well, you know, the gut doesn't win 71% of the time, and the numbers do. So you gotta go with the numbers, and usually a bounce back game. I have to go
with
the numbers.
Which is what I'm gonna say about Hamilton. That's why I'm saying Hamilton will be at home. It'll be their first home game. At Guelph, I believe that Edmonton, you know, they have a lot of learning to do. They're really, you know, they're on the steep end of the learning curve, and
okay.
I really don't think that they'll be able to accomplish the kind of stuff that their coach hopes they're going to accomplish. I just don't think they're ready for prime time. I think Hamilton's ready, John. They played really well against Toronto, and they will not be denied in their home opener. That's what I'm basing my decision on.
They're sharp. They're sharp. But let me tell you my view on what's going to happen on Saturday for Hamilton. Hamilton, first of all, had the high, maybe a bit of a too high, season opener against the former Grey Cup, Friday night football, blah, 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 big game rival, big electrical. Energy, a lot of energy. Jumped up crowd, yeah, juiced up crowd. And they're going to go to a smaller stadium. Their home fans, which, mind you, was probably going to be just as much as there was at the Rogers Center. Ba-dum-bump.
So
it is going to be a less of a, how should I say, anticipated kind of a high that they normally would get for a game, because I think more or less it'll be a downer for them. And they're also, they're not getting themselves revved up because it's not BC, Calgary, Montreal coming in. It's Edmonton who got blown out. So they might take them a little bit more lightly. And here we got Edmonton. Who got blown out at home, who were the only game that day. Everybody watching them. And they got embarrassed. And their coaches laid it into them. And they all laid it into them. And they showed them the Hamilton game. And they show them what Hamilton is like. And these guys are going to sharpen themselves up. And they're going to have to prove themselves. This is their make or break for Edmonton as far as players go, to see what kind of chemistry and what kind of a team they really got. That's the kind of speech I think the coaches are going to be more or less injecting into them. This is what you prove, that the game last week was just a mistake on our part and it's never going to happen again. You know? So let's not just say it's going to be a blowout. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it'll be tight. And I'm saying that I think Edmonton's defense is going to show up. All I saw, Frank, I didn't see Edmonton's defense, the players. Like, they're good players. I just saw a lot of blown coverages, okay? And blown coverages could be repaired. It's shitty players that are hard to repair, okay? So these guys...
I think if you're establishing, if you're saying at this point you know who they are, the bad players, I mean, that's a little premature, no?
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not. I'm saying there was coverages.
Okay.
Coverages are the responsibility of the coaches, okay? The players are just told where to stand and who to cover and what play and what design of play they're doing next, okay? They get called out. The coaches on the sideline say, we're doing this play on defense right now. This is what you're going to do. And that's what they follow. So they weren't being instructed properly. The coaches didn't research the game enough on the riders. Or, you know, it's hard to do because it's the first game of the season. The Riders had a lot of new faces on the team. And, you know, it could have been a lot of that to deal with. But now that Edmonton's going to have a chance to see what Hamilton did against Toronto, and Hamilton pulled out all their guns against the Grey Cup champs. They had to. They had to come with everything they had to kind of see if they can take us down. And this is what Edmonton really has to go on. They saw everything that Hamilton threw out against a really good team. Against Toronto. So, you know, Frank, like I said, mentally, you know, they're a little bit down now. It was
okay.
A close game.
Well, I think you've made your point. You've had plenty of time to make your point. Okay. You know,
I
get you. I feel you. I got the idea. I get the idea of what you're saying. Basically, okay, so you and I disagree on where Hamilton and Cumby are going to be. I happen to think that Kavis Reid, the coach of Edmonton, at this point is in over his head. Not because he will be, but he is at this point because he has so many. It's one thing to fix a few holes like the Argos are trying to do, or like even Montreal's trying to do. Well, no, Montreal's a bad example because Montreal's going to suffer from the same problem that Edmonton's going to suffer from, a lack of experienced coaching. Let's also look at the fact that their quarterback, the guy they were banking on, injured himself again. So now Mike Riley, who came over from BC, is now going to be at the controls of a team that he wasn't considered to be the number one, but a good backup. So he has something to prove. So maybe I'm making your point for you, which is Edmonton will play well. It's all good. At the end of the day, what's happening here in this game between Hamilton and Edmonton is, again, the theme of the CFL this year, where you have so many teams in transition, so many teams with upsides, because this kid Riley, Mike Riley, is a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback. So, you know, but this is the beauty of the CFL this year. The CFL this year is going to be, I think the key word they should be selling is surprise. You know, as surprising as it was that the Argos won the Grey Cup, this year is going to be a surprise week in, week out. And which brings me to we were talking about Winnipeg. Now, you've heard about the Canadian dollar is going down a little bit, right?
I heard.
Well, Buck Pearce is probably only worth about 75 cents because he lost like a fifth of his weight. There's a lot of talk and concern that Buck isn't a full Buck anymore. That he's inflated. That's just a joke. But, some suggest, I've heard the experts, and all you have to do is listen to panelists and listen to, you know, sportscasters. Some think that he's lost too much weight. What do you think, John? Can you lose too much weight as a quarterback?
As a, I don't think so. You know, NFL, maybe that might be an issue, but nobody ever told Doug Flutie, put on some more pounds and you'll be better, you know? So,
well, if you listen to CFL guys, especially, what's his name, played with Winnipeg?
Stiegel?
Stiegel, yeah. Stiegel was saying that he's lost too much weight that he won't be able to take the hits that he's going to get. I don't care how big you are. If you get hit, it's going to hurt. But that's
damn right.
Me.
Damn right.
Me.
Damn straight. You got that
but
right.
But I do understand what he's saying, that he's easier to hit and he'll go further when they hit him. But, you know, the key there is that, you know, he'll be a little more mobile, no?
You just took the words out of my mouth. I totally think that he'll be more mobile. I think, I think you know, the guy wants to fine-tune himself. And there's nothing wrong with that. And he's not a linebacker. Okay, he doesn't get paid to block the guys in front of him. They're 300 pounds or whatever. So nothing wrong with that at all.
Slide. He's paid the hook slide.
Nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with it, dude. I think he worked hard in the off season. I heard he runs a lot. He did a couple few marathons in the off season. So good for him. I mean, Stiegel.
Yeah.
Yap, 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 Stiegel. Yap, 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 yap. That's what he's for. Okay.
He's talking head.
Talking head. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to say it out there.
Talking
I never liked Stiegel. I never liked Stiegel because, you know, I'm not supposed to like Bomber players, okay? But I never liked them then. But his character, and then he totally lost me a few years ago when he said that he hates hockey and he thinks that hockey players are wusses and blah, blah, blah. And then he, of course, he retracted everything like a half a year later. But still, lost respect for the guy. Anyway, next. What's the next game
okay,
up in mind?
Next,
you were gonna...
next, well, we've discovered, we've discussed and discovered every issue there is for the teams for, well, like I said, anyway, the important thing here to me is that the Edmonton Eskimos, this isn't their year. At the end of the day, that's all I'm saying. This isn't their year. And that's okay because, you know what, there's going to be a lot of teams. There are a lot of teams whose year it is this year. So we have Winnipeg with the repeat with Montreal, looking in the future with the CFL games this weekend. We got about 26 minutes left, John. So we've got Winnipeg and Montreal, a rematch. Do you see Winnipeg maybe exacting some revenge from on the Montreal Alouettes?
I think Winnipeg... the entire team should feel confident. Okay, they were pretty much, you know, put at the bottom of the whole scale when the preseason finished. Okay, Frank, and what we were all thinking, oh, forget it, Winnipeg, no chance. Again, I'm going back to the fact that I think they're going to show up also in Montreal, and here it is. I think just because the way I saw them play. Okay, in the season opener, I think Winnipeg might take this one.
Okay, so that'll tighten the race in the East. Toronto at BC.
I don't know how to call that
I'm
one.
I'm going to agree with you that Winnipeg, you know what's going to happen? Winnipeg's going to win that game on the last play. It's going to be one of those games where the last possession is going to dictate the victory.
You're right. I think you're right. I hope you're right. I think it's going to, yeah, I can't argue with that one either. So,
Toronto, BC.
Okay, you know what? This one, Frank, this is the hard one for me right now. You have to look at
BC. Your heart says Toronto. Is that the problem?
Well, you know, yes. Like I said, I try to be realistic about what's going on. And, you know, BC losing that game, they felt that they should have been in the Grey Cup last year. They don't want to start their season at home. They want to prove something to their fans. Again, any team that is pretty good and comes off a loss in the CFL the following week, you know, they come back improved. And BC was already a good team, so they're just going to fine-tune themselves. The Argos? Well, the Argos have a mark on them everywhere they go now, okay? There's no extra excitement to be generated to play Toronto now, just because the fact that they're Grey Cup champs, that's the initial startup, getting the juices flowing for the. Yeah, it's good enough. So they got their challenges here. And again, Frank, the same reason why Hamilton, coming off from a bigger high, going to a, you know, a smaller stadium, and not a good as team. Here we go with Toronto. Sort of same scenario, but maybe in a worse situation. We came off a win in a great atmosphere, in
Absolutely.
A great first season opener. And here we are going to the Lions' den, okay? And they're just licking their paws and just waiting for us to get there because they're hungry for a win right now. And Toronto, who's coming off a high, might be going in there. Again, Scott, I like the way he talks. I like the way he gets things out of the way with the rings that he wore, the ceremonies, you know. He didn't even like the fact that the raising of the banner was happening, believe it or not. He didn't, and I like that. When I heard that from Jim, I love that. I love the fact that he hated the fact that it was going to be a raising of the banner, okay?
Any disadvantage must find its way elsewhere.
Okay. Good point.
No, he is a very intelligent man. You know, Milanovic, we're lucky to have him as a coach. We're lucky to have him.
I'm the more I get to know him, and as fans we get to know him, he's not a personable kind of fella when it comes to the fans, but that's not what we want to coach for, right? We want a guy who can coach the team and knows how to prepare them mentally, okay, is important. Is probably the biggest part, is to get them mentally focused. And when you get the players mentally focused, they'll learn the plays. They'll be into the game. So really impressed with what he's done so far. Now, BC, we'll see how he plays this one out. You know, again, the players, I'm thinking they're going to go into the stadium. I'm hoping into BC with that chip on their shoulder, having that feeling that we have to prove ourselves, that we are the champs, and until somebody beats us and takes us out and knocks us out and beats us real good, we're going to ride this wave. This boat is riding this 8-game straight wave since last year. So I hope he can feed that into their mentality and make that as an encouragement point for them to kind of get into this game. So, Frank,
here's what I'm going to say about it. You've got Wally Buono, and you've got Benavides. Yeah. You've got The coach of the year coming in to the stadium where the other candidate didn't win.
You've
got a team, BC, that lost a game they didn't want to lose. I mean, who wants to lose a game anyway? It's their first home game. My goodness. I mean, the cards are aligned against the Argos to say that is not difficult. They're going to be in tough. But here's what I'm going to say about the Toronto Argonauts and why I'm glad to be an Argo fan and my respect for those players, and I'm biased. I'll be the first person to say I'm biased. But one thing that the Argos proved last year is that they could win on the road when it matters, and they proved it in Saskatchewan, and they pretty much stuck a dagger in Saskatchewan's confidence last year and came back with that extra confidence when they came home. So, you know, I think the Argos will do a great job. And like you, I do have my doubts that they'll come back with a victory. And I think what will happen, worst-case scenario for the Argos, is going to be they're going to fall just a little bit short.
Yeah, well, then I guess the first Brady Bowl this year is going to go to BC.
There you go. And I'm glad you said that. I stayed away from that for a bit, but I wanted to make a point of it. But thank you for reminding me. That's correct. So, you know, these are kissing cousins. You know what I mean?
Oh.
These are kissing cousins. You know, you know what they say? You know what they say? A win is a win, and a tie is like kissing your sister. Well, in this case, winning ain't so hot.
Not unless you're from the South. Oh!
Enough with the woodland stuff. We already talked about Edmonton and Hamilton. We're going to take a short break, and we'll remind you you're listening to Candid Frank live on Blog Talk Radio, and you're listening to No Stranger Granger. And,
Argo Lifers in the house! Argo Lifers in the house!
And I got my nickname. Your nickname is No Stranger Granger, and my nickname is Frank Caster. I'm the Frank Caster. Whatever. And we'll take a short break, but I got to find my soundboard first before I do that. What do you want to hear, John? It's going to take me a sec to get it if I ask you, but I'll ask you anyway.
Well, now you ask me for what I want to hear. Well, you know what, Sam, I want to hear? Either you play the Argo TSN Breakfast Morning song, which you know I'm talking about, or there you go. There you go.
Does that work for you?
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white, least I'd like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Interested.
No way.
Interested.
I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
Yo, yo, I fly to D.C. and hide all their weed.
That's
I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo. Yo,
Argo.
Yo, 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 yo. I park at Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
Well, then he's an Argo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song. Raving and
catching on.
Maybe they're right when they say that I'm wrong. Nah, I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
He's
a big
Argo.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself one of those Condridge Holloway Mets jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah! And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay! They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it will make a lick of difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dennegan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, Joel Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Mohn, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down.
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up and sing the song, pal.
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
Yo, 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 yo. Hey, Argo! Oh, oh! Oh, oh.
I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
Yes, he is. He's an Argo. Well, thank you for that. And I got to tell you, you know, it's always nice. You know, we sort of dumped a little bit on, you know, we dumped a little bit on TSN, but we only dumped on them because, you know, they hurt our feelings, and you know that's usually what happens is when people.
But Frank, they're big boys.
Hurt
they
your
can
feelings,
take it.
You know.
They can take it. They're big boys.
You think?
Oh, I think so. And you know what? This, like I said, we promote the CFL. We want viewerships for TSN. We want them to have the audience that they are looking for. And this is not a negative in general, but it's just something that has to be brought up. It has to be pointed out, because if you keep patting them on the back, then nothing is ever going to get resolved. We love TSN for following and picking up the CFL and broadcasting their games coast to coast, but we also are fans who want this thing fine-tuned. We're not going to accept mediocre crap. And if we have a voice, that's what it's for. Use it. We use it in the stands, and we'll use it diplomatically to resolve situations off the field also. So nothing against TSN, but it's something that, like I said, I had to vent. Apologize to the viewers who didn't appreciate the venting. But that's just my feeling upon it. It was the feeling about.
But you're only apologizing. But John, you're only apologizing because maybe you went over the top a little bit. But the point.
Oh no!
You know, I'm not,
no, I'm not.
What has to be understood here is that I happen to think that I take a lot of time to prepare to go to the game, and I make my horn up so that it shows who I support, which is the CFL and of course the Argos. And for the most part, the other teams, but mostly the Argos, and to have the national broadcaster ignore our love of the game doesn't seem like a good idea. And when I say our love of the game, I'm not talking about me, you specifically. I'm talking about all the other fans that really love the CFL and are more than willing to be demonstrative about it. And
right.
That's the sad part, is that they're missing on the opportunity to show how demonstrative the CFL fans are, and that's my beef, and that's why you're able to say on our program what you're saying, because there's truth in what you're saying. It may be a little heavy-handed, but it's the gospel.
Well,
I'm
you know
sorry.
Why it's heavy-handed, Frank? It's heavy-handed because I have no restrictions. Okay, I'm a fan first. Period.
Oh,
end
absolutely.
Of story. And
sure.
That's the I'm not going to come across politically correct. I'm not going
to
come across.
You don't have to
across.
Apologize to me or anyone for your attitude.
Oh, heck no. I'm not going to ever do that.
No.
I mean,
Let me get this in. You don't have to apologize for it, because if it wasn't for you, people like me, and I'm going to bring in my buddy Aaron Freeland, would not be at the game to try to have the opportunity to see how much fun it is to be a demonstrative fan. You are the ultimate demonstrative fan. You are, you know, and at times when I say this, I know it doesn't come out right in your mind, but I'm telling you, the people out there understand when I say this. You are a very, forceful energy that promotes the Toronto Argonauts with a lot of consideration and care for ensuring that their image is never tarnished. So,
I'll
you know,
take that.
Just because you don't agree with the way TSN treats you doesn't make you an evil person. In fact, it makes you the honest person that you are, which is a person who wants to promote the Argos and wants the Argos to be appreciated. On the same token, proof in the pudding, Hamilton fans applauded our behavior on the week on Friday.
I appreciate those fans.
I
appreciate. Yeah,
but
TSN, I know. I told
TSN. Sorry, buddy. We love TSN. You know, I love TSN. I promote TSN.
Oh, yeah.
I love TSN. I owe TSN so much because they've given the CFL an opportunity to show how attractive. If it wasn't for TSN, and let me say this clearly, if it wasn't for TSN and the game of the Canadian Football League, we wouldn't be on NBC and ESPN3.
True enough.
I mean, they see what we've got, and they want more. And all I'm saying is, we want more of the fans.
Okay, well, if TSN ever listening, this is the bottom line. Don't ever come to the lifer section. Expect noise on offense. End of story. We could have resolved this immediately. Come see us on defense if you want action shots, which you need for your viewerships. We're there
it's
doing
automatic.
It for the players. We're doing
it's
it
automatic.
For the players. We don't care about the frigging cameras, okay? We really, but I do get disgruntled when he vocally says, "Well,
okay,
if that's your
that,
attitude,
John, stop that, stop that."
Attitude.
Don't make it.
My attitude? You haven't seen my attitude. You're gonna feel my attitude now, dude. So you know that's on the behalf of all the Argo lifers.
He made it personal. It shouldn't have been personal.
Attitude.
The end of the day, John,
you know Iverson with the practice. You know, Iverson with the practice? Well, I'm giving you the attitude. Give me attitude? What attitude? I'll give you attitude.
Okay.
Attitude?
Never let it be said that John Granger, the stranger, is not a passionate fan. Never let it be said. We're just under 10 minutes left in the program. I guess the best way to conclude the week is to talk about the fact that I know you want to talk about this because it's something that you've raised a few times. We've had Mike from Minnesota call into the program. This guy lives in Minnesota. He is a giant-sized CFL fan. He has been, to put it bluntly, and Mike, I'm very disappointed that you didn't call in tonight. You must have an important engagement to not call in, because he calls in every night. And I look forward to his calls, I got to be honest with you.
I do too. I like that guy.
Me
too. Me too. Me too. And it's nice to know that there are American football fans who, aside from their high school, college, university, whatever, and NFL teams, find room to appreciate the Canadian Football League. In some cases, preferentially. You know,
yeah.
And you know, and in Mike's case, he prefers the CFL over the NFL. And he lives in a hotbed of football, Minnesota, the Vikings. I mean, here in Canada, the Vikings are the team that Canadians go to see, you know, Canadian football fans go to see in Manitoba, Saskatchewan. Lots of Canadians.
Absolutely.
Go
you got
game.
That right. Huge, huge.
Big time, right?
In Winnipeg and Manitoba, huge. I there's actually a big hardcore fan, a guy who's the Mr. Viking, is in the end zone. He's actually from Manitoba, and he's a season ticket holder down in Minnesota. So these guys, yeah, big fans. You're right about that.
The point I'm making is that they understand the game. And we all know, and I forget who said this to me, and it's now sticking, it's going to be my gospel as well. Was it? Oh, of course it was. Mike Hogan. The announcer, the play-by-play guy for Chum 1050, TSN 1050, I'm sorry. He said, in one of our interviews, and I'll play it sometime down the road again, where he said, you know, it's not unusual for football fans to prefer to like different variations on that same theme. And I'm paraphrasing, just so you know, because
okay.
I don't think he would use the word variation. And the point being that people who love college, high school football, college football, and NFL football, they like them all for different reasons. There's a different reason why you like high school football. There's a different reason why you like college football. There's a different reason why you like NFL football. And when you throw the CFL into that equation, from an American's perspective, like our friend in Minnesota, Mike, hello, he sees it as a game that's refreshing and different than what he's accustomed to. So, you know, the fact that the American, you know, the CFL is doing what the what hockey wish they could do, and that is grow the sport in the U.S. I think the CFL is far more advanced in growing the sport of the game of Canadian football in the U.S. than the NHL is in hockey. I think the NHL has hit a flat spot, you know. So it's really nice to see. It's really nice to hear. And I'm really glad that the Americans in the U.S. appreciate our football game. That only makes it better for us, John, because more players are going to want to come up here.
Absolutely. No, you hit it on the nail, Frank. And, I just want to send a shout-out to Mike, too. So, and Jared, if you're listening, sorry about the Tie Cats there, buddy. I know you guys were really hoping for a good start. Jared Harris, the Ticat rock fan out there, I'm sure there was a tear
Candid
in his
Frank
beer.
Live show, Candid Frank Live Show regular host, you know.
Yes, yeah, and, you know, and so, I'm sure Jared had
I don't know,
a tear
do you
in
think
his beer.
Maybe, John, do you think maybe the fact that Hamilton lost was why he didn't come by? Jarrett did not show up because the Ticats lost. If the Ticats had won, he would have been Oski Wee-weeing his way to the Shoeless Joe's for, like, real quick.
Speaking of Shoeless Joe's, we have to send a nice thank you to the hospitality of Shoeless Joe's and Carlos and Stephanie, the management there. They always welcome the Argo lifers, and you did an awesome job, Frank, on Friday night at Shoeless Joe's, roaming and interviewing fans, and it was a great, great first live show on site at Shoeless Joe's. I you know, there was a couple of wrinkles in the show, but in general, this is what I was telling you earlier when you brought this to my attention. John, what about doing post-game shows at Shoeless Joe's and getting the flavor of the fans and stuff? And you had a great vision, and the vision came through. And I listened to the show afterwards on Friday night, and I think that's a great idea, Frank. It's something that no one's touched on doing before. And I hope you continue to do it, and I hope perhaps you and Aaron will take it to the
next level.
Take the show. Yeah, it'll take the show to the Saskatchewan post-game party also.
at Shoeless Joe.
Well, we'll work on that. I'll speak to Aaron because, Aaron, I can't do it without you, buddy. I need
Aaron
you
did a fantastic job. Aaron, you know, I was hoping that we'd hear from Aaron and his experience. By the way, you listeners out there, Aaron came out to the game, and he was in a lot of our pictures. That we got a couple of headlines.
You're going to rub it in, aren't you? You're going to rub it in, aren't you? You're going to rub it
fantastic.
In.
Fantastic. That was
oh,
Aaron.
Oh, come on. He was looking there like, wow, this is fun.
You know what,
I
Frank? You know what you're going to have to
Aaron
do?
Aaron is the prototypical. I want to say this to my viewers. I love Aaron like a brother, okay? I have not known Aaron long, but I have not. I don't. There's not many people I know that I respect more than Aaron. He's a great guy, and like you, John. You know, it doesn't matter whether you like somebody in the sense that they fit your description of what you should like. One thing that Aaron, and the same as you, John, is that both of you have taught me that I can like somebody that I didn't know I could like before, and that's the nice thing about it being involved. As a fan of a sporting team, and getting to know people in a situation that's not normal, you know, and by normal I mean, you know, a work environment, a home environment, a neighbor environment, you know, it's a totally different environment, and you know, we don't know each other from Adam, we don't, you know, we're totally different, but one thing we both, or all of us, I should say, more than both. All of us enjoy, and I'm including Aaron in this, and Jared in this, and you in this, and Ridley, and everybody, and as you said before, you know, Kissinger, as well.
And the Kingsleys.
The Kingsleys. Everybody, Jamie and his wife, you know, the Argo lifers, you know who you are, and Diane, and her nephew.
Shane and. Yeah,
Shane,
you here know, we go, name dropping.
But we have to. We have to. The whole point is,
of course.
The whole point is, this is not a sports show from the perspective of we're trying to sell shaving cream. What we're trying to sell here is the experience, the passion, the atmosphere, the reason why we go to Argo games. I'll go to Hamilton games this year as well, and we will be going to Hamilton games this year. And I am looking forward to the same qualities I just described, the passion, the fervor, you know, all that wonderful stuff. It's we're down to 90 seconds, so we're going to lose the network, the live network, but we can go to tape after this.
Well, you know
the
what?
Point
Frank,
is,
let's finish off, Frank. Let's finish off with the live network tonight, okay? And what I want to let the viewers know and listeners know is that maybe the next show, Frank will post that picture that we were just talking about, so they get an understanding of what we were talking about in general. But Frank, let's do this tonight. We'll finish off right up on the 2-hour mark. I just want to say for a season opener, for the rivalry,
outstanding.
It was outstanding. I mean, just had a terrific time. Great atmosphere. Great bunch of people. Great Ticat fans. You know, not one ruckus. Not one incident of fighting or whatever, the bad reputation that these kind of things always get. Nothing like that. Just a great,
good old fun.
You know, sportsmanship. It was super. So I want to finish off on that note. Thank you to everybody that was there
my
on
pleasure.
Friday. Yeah, and I had a super time. Frank, thanks for coming out. Aaron,
thank you for coming out. We'll talk later.
Yes, we will. And you guys have a good night and a great show, Frank. And good night, Cleveland.
Okay, good night, Cleveland. Well, thank you for listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. Your guest tonight was John the Stranger Granger and the host Frank the Frankcaster. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.